I'm going to read the passage, James 4, 1 to 10. Maybe if you would turn with that. Let me just pray first with Abby as he comes to bring God's word to us. Father God, thank you for my brother, and do pray that as he comes among us, he will feel very much at home, very much part of this church family. We pray that as he brings your word to us, that he might, by your Spirit, know your power and your guidance, and that we would hear your voice this morning. Thank you for all that he does and CIM do in India for your people. We pray protection on them. We pray blessing on them. We pray your favor in the midst of difficult circumstances, and that they might know your help and your guidance as they walk alongside your people in seeking to do what is right. And so now, as we come to your word, may we hear your voice, for we ask it in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Let me read James chapter 4, 1 to 10. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something but don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred towards God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think that Scripture says without reason that the Spirit he caused to live in us envies intensely? But he gives us more grace. That is why the Scripture says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Once again, a big thanks to all of you for having me here. It's my privilege to meet all of you, worship the Lord together, and also to share from God's word. As I understand, you are meditating on this theme for the last many months on the character under construction. Let me just tell how I am so closely passionate about that, especially my research. First, philosophically, I follow the constructivism paradigm, so it's connected. I'm constructing, I'm co-creating along with so many others. And I'm also studying a character of God, the character of accountability and how that can be built into organization systems and practices. And just for your information, there is an Oxford character project in the Oxford University, a multi-million pound project, having tie up even with the Harvard University, which is all about cultivating characters in business organizations, in academic institutions, in students, in global leadership. And in very many ways, that is very much Christian. I know the leaders of that. The executive director of that project, we share the same Bible study group, and I had a one-hour meeting with him. So you're part of a bigger family. It's so appropriate for you to meditate on this overall theme of character, constructing character together, and I'm sure that you would be blessed, and that would be contagious. This morning, we are assigned to meditate together on the theme, drawing close to God, drawing close to God. This passage is taken from James chapter 4, verse 1 to 10, and the specific theme or the topic is taken from 4:8, and I have given a few versions from the Bible. ESV or RSV says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. NLT talks about, come close to God and God will come close to you. If you look at the original Greek word for drawing or close, it is called egiso, and the real meaning of that is to come near, to come extreme closeness. So it's about a deep relationship with the Lord. It's about having an intimate relationship with the Lord, having a close communion with the Lord. So this morning, I would love to talk about three aspects. First, why we need to come close to God. Second, how can we draw close to God? And third, what are the implications of being close with God? So first, why we need to draw close to God? The context is mentioned in the previous verses. So let me read the verse 7. It talks about submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So it's talking about going away from Satan and then coming close to God. So there is some issue here. There is some challenge here. We need to go away from Satan because in very many ways, he is influencing the way in which things are happening in this world and it can affect us. And being the leader of the church in the first century, James, the brother of Jesus, when he wrote a letter, not just to one particular church, but all the churches in that particular time, he understood the various ways by which the believers of that time were influenced by Satan, and he is giving very specific instructions on how they need to turn away from Satan, how they need to be conscious in their mind that they need to come on in a very closer relationship with God. And what are the issues or what were some of the challenges they were facing at that time which James have listed? We'll just skim through that. Even as we go through that, let's evaluate and reflect our own lives and see, is there any one area that we may have to correct in our life? If there are just two challenges that we may come through where we may have to correct ourselves. So let's have that also at the back of our mind. So first verse, it talks about fights and quarrels. So it was happening among the first century Christians, and it talks about the reason for that as well. Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? So it was their desire or wrong desire, or it was their wrong passion which was leading them to quarrels and fights, which was a major problem that James identified at that time. A self-centered approach, a self-centered desire, which is leading them into different kinds of challenges. Verse 2, it talks about murder. Well, I do not know whether the Christians of that time were murdering or killing each other. Maybe, may not be. I don't think so. Some of the scholars, some of the theologians are saying that it is a metaphor which is used for unrestrained hostility. So the people were living in hostility with one another. There were Greeks on one side, there were the Jews on another side. There were a lot of issues between them. Corinthians and other books, if you are reading, it is very evident. And even among the Jews, to which primarily this book is written, there were different kinds of sects and different kinds of, you know, troubles and hostility between them. So James is unashamedly, you know, rebuking them and telling the challenges that they are going through. Covet, desiring for something that doesn't belong to them. These were some of the early experiences in Christian life. And with all these things, after listening to all these things, in fourth verse he is saying, very strong word, you adulterous people, very strong word. But if you are familiar with the Old Testament, we know that this is not the first time the people are called adulterous. If you are looking at the prophetic books, most of the prophets, they were describing the Israelites as adulterous people. When the Israelites went away from God, the prophets were very strong in using the word, you have turned away from God. You have been unfaithful to God. You have turned away from God. Friends, this morning, can we reflect our lives and see, we have received so much of blessings from God. We have received so much of graces from God. But is there any way by which we have been unfaithful? And with this, further he is saying that in verse 4, the second part, don't you know that the friendship with the world is hatred towards God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. A friendship with the world is an enmity with God. Does it go with the general teaching of the Bible? In Genesis chapter 1, we see God created the whole universe and gave the very first message to the human being and said, in 1 verse 28, it says that, rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and the entire living creation. In it's a stewardship responsibility is given to the people. They have been instructed to take care of the entire creation. So does that would mean that we need to be very much rooted in the world and we need to take care for the goodness of the world? So what does it mean really by saying that friendship with the world is enmity with God? It is mentioned in a very specific context, and this is not the only place where it is mentioned. A very common verse, Romans chapter 12, it says, don't be conformed to the patterns of the world. And John chapter 12, verse 31, it says, now the ruler of the world be casted out. Now, there is a person. The ruler of the world, who is that? Satan. So the world is many times used as a metaphor to denote the sphere of influence of Satan, where he is the ruler and the people are following him. So that is the context in which this particular verse is mentioned. And with this context, it is in this context that James is telling the people that since the ruler of the world is Satan, and he has influence on many of you with the ways in which it is manifested by means of quarrels and murder or covetousness or being unfaithful to God, you need to go away from Satan and you need to come closer to God. Let's move forward. How can we draw close to God? What are the ways by which we can draw close to God? Let me very quickly tell three things which are there in these verses. Verse 7, it talks about submit yourselves then to God. Submit ourselves to God. God expects us to submit ourselves. Our self need to be taken out. To the extent to which the self is operating, we will not be able to come closer to God. So we need to denounce the self and we need to submit ourselves. We need to surrender our lives to God. Verse 8, it says, wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts. It again is mentioned very much in an Old Testament language, washing of hands, purifying the hearts. When the people were going to sacrifice to worship the Lord, you know, they cannot go defiled. They need to wash themselves. They need to be clean. Then only they can approach God. So if we need to come closer to God, we need to be holy. There cannot be any impurity in our life. And if there are impurities, we will not be able to draw close to God. Stories talked about a KFC store. Once there was a couple who drive into a KFC, Kentucky Fried Chicken shop. So they ordered for some chicken and they paid the money. They came to the counter, collected the KFC box, and they went out to eat that. And these are olden days. The digital payments were not there. The cash was collected physically, and when a sufficient amount of cash is there, that will be deposited in the bank, physically taken. So, and that particular locality, there were a lot of robberies. And because of that, this particular shop, they had a very peculiar system, very secretly, that whenever they are going to the bank, they will not carry it in suitcases or cash in big purses. They will carry it in a KFC chicken box. And as if they are going to deliver it to a customer, they will go to the bank and deposit the money there. It so happened, by mistake, instead of giving the chicken pieces. This couple were given the box full of cash. So they went to the park, opened the box and saw that it's full of cash. So much of money. But they were truthful people. They returned back to the shop. And they met the manager and said that we have ordered the chicken, but instead of the chicken, we got a lot of cash from this church, from this shop. We would love to return it. And the manager was amazed. He said that, oh, you people of integrity, couple of integrity, the world need to know about you. Just wait for 2 minutes. I'm calling the press. Let the media people come. Let them interview you. And today's news channel, it should come. Tomorrow's newspaper, your photo should come. What you have done need to be talked about so that many others can follow such examples. To which the couple was alarmed. They said, no. Please don't call any media people because the woman who is with me, she's not my wife. The woman who is with me, she's not my wife. They are having integrity in one area of their life, but not in their relationship. We cannot approach God being holy in one aspect of our life. Integrity is about wholesome. It's about all aspects of our life. We need to be holy if we need to draw closer to God. Be humble. Verse 10. Humble yourselves before the Lord and He will lift you up. We need to have the quality of humility. Now, humility is not about having an inferior opinion about ourselves, thereby not using the gifts that God has bestowed upon us. Neither it is having a feeling that I am the most humble person in the whole world. That is pride, arrogant. It is having the right understanding of ourselves in front of God to realize that how weak we are, how fragile we are, and how much more of God's grace and strength we require. We need to be humble if we need to draw close to God. The third and the last aspect, what are the implications of drawing close to God? Let me go to a few of the other passages in the Bible. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, it says, "Come, all those who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I will give you rest. All those who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. If you go through the various challenges in your life, various troubles in our life, perhaps in our work context, perhaps in our health, maybe troubles in our relationships, maybe financial difficulties, if we come close to God, He will uphold us. He will strengthen us and He will give us the grace to move forward. We can be rest assured that we can rest in Jesus. Second, once we have a deep relationship with God, we would be able to bear fruits. A beautiful imagery is given in John chapter 15, chapter 15, the imagery of the grapevine and the branches, Christ being the grapevine, and how the branches will be able to bear the fruit when they have that very deep relationship, when they are able to get their nourishment from that branch, how we would be able to bear the fruit. The fruit of the Holy Spirit, love, peace, joy, we will be able to experience when we come closer to God. Also, we will be able to bear fruit in terms of gaining others to Christ. Last, when we have a deep relationship with God, when we come into a relationship with God, we will be able to live with Christ forever. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him and eat with him, and he with me. It's a standing invitation from Jesus at the heart of all the human being. He would love to enter our house and to dine with us. If there are anybody here who are not sure that where the Christ is living in you, perhaps this can be an opportunity. You can just hear that knock at the door and open your heart and accept Jesus into your life so that you would be able to begin this intimate relationship with God and you would be able to live with the Lord forever. Let me just share one experience from my life, how this particular passage has made a deep impact in my life in terms of my relationship with God. As I mentioned, I come from a Christian family, but my closer relationship with the God began while I was studying in the university. I was part of a student ministry in India, similar to the Christian Union here. And I was good in singing, and they came to know that I'm there, and we got together, and they took me to the leadership right at the very beginning. And in our bigger meetings, they asked me to lead the singing sessions. So I was full of pride and arrogance that, no, I just came here and they have taken me to the leadership and I'm leading the singing sessions. And one Friday, I really remember, I was leading the singing session. I did a big show. But after that, I know that something was not right. That weekend, I was disturbed. Sunday morning, while I was taking my quiet time, God spoke to me through two verses. One is this verse, James chapter 4, verse 6, the latter part, second part. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Also from 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, it says, humble yourselves before, therefore under God's mighty hand, and he may lift you up in due time. It just crushed me. It just crushed my heart. And I could understand all the wrong ways in which I was leading my Christian life. And that was, in very many ways, the beginning of my deep relationship with God. And with that, 2 years from then, I was able to go intentionally to northern part of our country for my higher studies. I went to a state called Uttar Pradesh, where there are so much of struggles, so much of persecution, which is leading. And there was a missionary from there who came and told that there is a big university there, the largest residential university in whole of Asia, 25,000 students in the same campus, but no Christian witness in that campus. No outsider can go inside and minister because of the challenges there. Unless a student goes there, and while being a student, if they are able to witness Christ, they can do something. I took up that challenge. Miraculously, God has taken me there, and my deep relationship with God, which began just 2 years back, was there with me, and I could really experience what does faith life mean in the face of challenges, in the face of being away from home, 2,000 miles away from your home, different language, different culture, everything different. God was with me, and I could really experience that. And later I was teaching in a college for 4 years, and there I somewhere down the line got the conviction that I need to contribute much more deeply in the missions, and that's the context in which I have joined this ministry called Christian Institute of Management. And today, June 2nd, I'm completing 17 years in CIM. It's an amazing journey. It's an amazing journey with the Lord, ministering in difficult situations. So this morning, it's an open invitation from the Lord that let's make a very conscious effort to come close to God. Let's build the character of being close with God. We are under the influence of Satan. We need to be away from Satan and come close to God. We need to be holy. We need to be submissive. We need to be humble. And once we do that, we would be able to have our rest in Christ. We would be able to bear fruit. And not just that, we would be able to live with Christ forever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful morning time that you have given us, Lord, where we could come before your throne to call you above Father, Lord, to know that you are our Father, Lord, and that you are longing for this deep relationship in our lives, Lord. Lord, we come before you as we are, Lord. There are many weaknesses in our lives. Lord, we know that many times we have fallen away. We have been unfaithful, Lord. And we come to you, Lord, looking unto you, Lord. Lord, seeking mercy from you, Lord. Looking at your grace, Lord. Lord, you cleanse us, Lord. Help us to have a deep relationship and help us to experience that in our life, Lord. Let that be a daily experience in our life, Lord. And thank you for this church and each of the people who have come here, Lord, and people who are listening us online, Lord. Minister to each one of us, Lord, and help us to uphold each other, Lord, and support each other, Lord. Thank you for hearing our prayers. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.